hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. And if you were with us yesterday, you know we started a study in Romans chapter 9, where we're looking at the great subject of, and the question that the apostle raises, have the promises of God, has the Word of God, all of the promises made to national Israel, has it taken no effect? And Paul is answering the issue of what has happened to Israel. How do we understand all these promises that were made in the Old Testament? What is the fulfillment? And today people, of course, have sort of polarized and moved into camps, and you hear the language of replacement theology, an attack on replacement theology, and I always say that people are being unfairly represented. We need to understand what people believe. We need to understand what is being said before we just openly attack a certain view. And I will get people into the church and, oh, this replacement theology is so dangerous. And I don't even believe replacement theology, but often that is associated with Reformed. We're not replacing anything. We're looking at the issue of how do we understand the fulfillment of the promises. Are you saying there are two salvation plans? Are you saying that there is a whole different plan for national Israel? Well, that I would disagree with, because very clearly the Bible says that the two have become one. Those barriers have been broken down, and how dare us raise again barriers and lift the walls? Can you imagine if the temple was rebuilt and we went back to Old Testament sacrifice and offering? Can you imagine what that would do to the gospel message? We need to think through the implications of what we believe. And Paul is addressing this. He's addressing this in Romans chapter 9 because how he's been making the case throughout the book of Romans that justification by faith is not only for the Jew, but also for the Greek, but also for the Gentile. And if these promises include the Gentiles and all the Gentiles are coming in, and as this epistle is written to the church in Rome, which is full of Gentiles, what does that mean for Old Testament Israel? What does that mean for the Jews? And he's addressing this. He's addressing it in clarity. And I want to mind this so that we have a good understanding over the next few weeks and that we are clear on this issue. Well, he says in verse 6, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Okay, well, that's a very important statement. And before we look at that here today, I want to back up a bit because he has a bleeding heart for the Jews. And everyone should have a bleeding heart that the Jews today who have rejected their Messiah would repent and believe in him. We should have that heart for everyone who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus. But Paul is specifically looking at his own countrymen, according to the flesh. He says, if I could have them to be saved, I would. I would become a curse for them. That's what he says in verse 2. I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. It's an amazing testimony to a pastor's heart. Why is his heart bleeding? He says, my heart aches because of the unbelief of the Jews. If it were possible to give my life for them to be saved, I would. And he rehearses everything they had. And so what he does here up front in Romans 9 is he gives 9 advantages that God's covenant people of old had. They are Israelites, he says. They are that single nation that God has set apart in the earth whom he loved to be Israel. It was the apple of his eye. It was the greatest title because to be Israel meant to be the people of the God of heaven and earth. No other nation in the earth was more blessed than Israel. And Paul rehearses the benefits. They were given the adoption, so they had the great privilege of being God's firstborn, his own special people, his own holy nation called out of darkness. Paul says they were given the glory. They had the presence of God among them in that pillar of cloud, the Spirit of glory who led them through the wilderness to the land. The covenants, God's special dealings with them, with his people, all based on that covenant of grace made to Abraham. The giving of the law, God's statutes, his judgments, and will from the very finger of God when he gave them those tablets to show them their sin and to draw them away from themselves to Christ. Literally, the worship of God, Paul says, they could come to the tabernacle and later the temple, one localized place where the God of heaven and earth symbolically dwelt between the cherubim and the seraphim. And the promises, all of the promises made to them and to their children, pointing them to Jesus. And we've considered this on Abounding Grace. The gospel was throughout the Old Testament. The gospel, as Jesus said, all the law and the prophets spoke of him. Israel had it all with that overarching promise, I will be your God and you will be my people. And then the capstone from them, Israel, as far as the human nature is concerned, they are the ones from whom Christ came, who is, Paul says, overall the eternally blessed God. Christ came through those fathers and through that line, the single nation God chose to send the Messiah through. This is an amazing testimony to all the advantages that Israel had. Because, he says, they had it all. But what happened? What happened? Time and time again, God would send prophets rising up early, and they hated his message. Jeremiah, we think of just a few here. Jeremiah walks in the middle of the temple and he prophesies. He prophesied against the glorious temple that it would be destroyed for their rebellion, their worship of idols, their idolatry, their sexual immorality. Generations would rise up and the next generation, we constantly read throughout the Old Testament, did not know the Lord their God. One generation and the next one came, did not train up their children, and they became idolatrous. And they would not hear. They would not hear the call to repentance. They would not hear the gospel. Instead, they wanted messages of peace, peace. Make everything fluffy, everything lovely. Well, that just sounds familiar today, doesn't it? Messages of peace, peace, when God said there is no peace. In other words, we only want a God of love to hear about. We don't want to hear about judgment. We don't want to hear our temple's going to be destroyed. We don't want to hear these things to the covenant people. They said, remember, the temple, the temple, the temple. Presuming upon all the promises. And God carried them away to Babylon. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament is a long story of their failure and God judging them. And finally, after years of silence, the Lord Jesus Christ comes. What happens? From his birth, right at the beginning, the Jews rejected him. The leaders plotted his death, God's people. And Jesus' message was clear. Okay, we turn to the Gentiles. Gentiles would come to him. And in Matthew 8, he said, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the Gentiles. But he says, the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. The sons of the kingdom? Who are they? The Jews who were rejecting him. In John 6, the Jews complained against him. And he would go on to say in chapter 8 that I'm going away, and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Boy, John 8 is very sobering. He just said to the Jews they would die in their sins. The Jews would continue to look for their Messiah as they do to this day, but the sad reality is they would die in their sin, missing the true Messiah. And then Jesus would curse the fig tree, commanding no fruit to grow on it ever again. The fig tree was always a sign and representation of Israel. He then would tell a parable of the vineyard, clearly an allusion to Isaiah 5. Let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. This is Isaiah 5. He dug it, and he cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled. Well, Isaiah says very clearly, the vineyard is the whole house of Israel. Paul would later write in 2 Corinthians 3 that the children of Israel right now have their minds blinded. He says, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. God is saying they cannot so read the scriptures so as to see that they all point to Jesus, that in Moses and all the prophets, all those things in some way spoke to his person and work. They can't see it because as Jesus applied it, judgment has fallen upon them for their unbelief. And the result is that he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them, says Jesus. So what's the logical conclusion? If you're a Jew and hearing this, the immediate question is whether God is keeping his promises, especially if they're now finding fulfillment, the promises to Abraham, as Paul says, to the Gentiles, because in him, all the Gentiles of the earth would be blessed. Paul knows the objection. Isn't God faithful to his promises? What good are the promises? It seems that the theology makes God's promises a failure. And Paul comes along and says, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Those who have the true circumcision of the heart, whether it be Jew or Gentile, are the true Israel of God. We're going to look at that more this week. May we all come to Jesus with this kind of trusting faith and know that we indeed have the circumcision of the heart.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.